So let us understand the behavior of long run cost. We'll understand this with the diagram. In this diagram, we have drawn a U-shaped cost, which will be called as our long run average cost. So this is our long run average cost graph, the black color line. And this long run U-shaped average cost is similar to your short run average cost, which means eventually, initially when the business starts and production begins, the costs are very high. And as the output keeps on expanding, the cost continuously starts falling, reaching a least level. And then it again starts rising, giving it a U-shaped diagram. Now, you will notice in this diagram that we have drawn small U-shaped graphs also with a red color font, and they are named as SACs. Now, what are these SACs? They are short run cost behavior. As you see in the short run, you find that the volume of output is less and the cost starts rising. Which means in the short run, most of the costs are fixed. And therefore, when the company wants to increase output, its cost will increase very fast. So what we are doing is, we have drawn these SACs and we are trying to make you understand that let's say that this is one plant, SAC, one plant. Here you can see the company is manufacturing OQ output at OC cost. This is called as the least cost output. I have labeled it as point A. So point A is the optimum cost output combination. But what if the company wants to increase output? From Q, it wants to increase output to Q1. It changes its plant capacity. Now what is changing plant capacity? Changing the technology, replacing worn out machines, training the labor, building up new plants nearest to the location of raw material, etc. So from SAC1, the business will move to SAC2. SAC2 is second plant capacity. Here we have another point called B. B is again an optimal output cost combination. You will observe here, students, that when the plant capacity has shifted to SAC2 from SAC1, the cost has reduced. So this is the reduction in cost from C to C1. The cost has reduced and at the same time the output has increased from Q to Q1. So a reduction in cost and an increase in output just by changing the plant capacity. So this is more efficient plant size compared to the first. In this way, the business firms will keep changing the plant capacity till it reaches the most efficient plant size. As you see in the diagram, it is SAC3 because here the cost is even least. The cost is still coming down, cost is falling and output is increasing. But after this, you find the graph is taking an upward turn. So output will increase, no doubt output will increase, but at a higher cost. So point D and point E on SAC4 and SAC5 both indicate more output but higher cost. So we come to the conclusion that even in the long run, the business firms cannot escape from eventually rising cost over larger volume of output, making the average cost a U-shaped diagram in the long run as well. Now, what you have to remember, student, is just one thing, that in the short run, the average cost graph will be saucer-shaped. But in the long run, it will be much flatter in slope. So that U-shape will be over a wide range of output. So over large volume of output, our cost will be minimum. That means, in the long run, the business firms have a capacity to expand output and still reduce the cost over a wider range, which is not possible in the short run. So students, as we have just understood, the behavior of long run average cost taking a U shape. Now we go ahead to the next part of again long run average cost. But as you see here, it is not U shape, but a L shape. Now, the economists have found that in most of the business firms, it is possible for the production managers to stop production and still cut down cost over a wide range of output and bring down that U-shape effect, that rising path of cost can be cut down. When will long-run average cost have a L-shape? And if it will, what does this L-shape represents? So let us first understand what is the L-shape concept. The L-shape concept is very simple. Initially, the costs are high when the volume of output is less. But as the output goes on increasing, the cost is continuously reducing, reaching a least point, minimum point. And after that, it becomes constant. This is due to technology. Whenever companies will introduce sophisticated technology in the production department, they will have mass production at much reduced cost. This is what has been done by China. China is able to manufacture large volume of output at a comparatively lower cost, which especially in certain products like microchips and whatever electronic products which China is manufacturing, most of the Indian manufacturing companies have the capacity to produce those output, but at a U-shaped cost graph, matlab at a rising cost. Whereas countries who are technologically efficient are able to increase the output at a comparatively L-shaped cost. So students, you have to remember that when we ignore the role of technology and we ignore the role of replacement of technology, we will mostly observe U-shape long run average cost in the manufacturing processes. And the moment technology is upgraded and it is installed, we can convert the U-shape cost graphs into L-shape. So students, whatever we have discussed in the diagram, let us conclude that with a given slide. It has been seen that whenever there will be technological improvements and innovations, the average cost will go on reducing with every new long run average cost curve. As you have seen, changing the plant capacity. And by changing the plant capacity, instead of the U-shape, we will start getting the L-shape graph. So the main reason for the long run average cost changing from U to a L-shape is purely experience, training, technological improvement, better division of factors of production. Let's go ahead to the next concept, which is associated with the L-shaped average cost. That is learning and cost. We know that there are many reasons behind, apart from technology, which will make the long-run average cost more L-shaped rather than U-shaped. And one aspect of that is taken and discussed here, which is what is the element of learning involved through experience? What happens when workers get trained, when any employee keeps on practicing an activity again and again? Definitely, practice makes a man perfect. We all know about it. And that's what is happening in the business also. Whenever business employees get more skilled, they become better equipped with the technology, there will always be a learning effect taking place, which will overall bring an improvement in the production capacity and efficiency of the workers. To understand this, we will take you to a diagram. As you can see here, the same L-shaped cost graph. Here we see that there are two long-run average cost. One, the pink color line, and the other is the blue color cost graph. As you see, students, here, that one is for time T and other is for time T plus 1. Whenever there will be a learning taking place, its effect will be shown by the pink color cost graph. In fact, the long run average cost will shift downwards to the left. Shift downwards to the left. So the first long run average cost graph is when the worker has joined the job. He is not very equipped with the technology. So he is working at a given time and a time pace. As he becomes better equipped with the technology, he will complete the work in less time, and the graph will shift downwards to the left. So what happens is, in a given time with a given wages, the worker is in a position of contributing more and more. And this is represented by a downward shift, left-hand side shift of long-run average cost. This is always happening. You take an example of a BPO employee. On the first day of joining, being very new to the job, let's say the employee is attending 50 calls per day, 8 hours job and attending 50 calls. We'll take that as the average speed. With experience, after 1 or 2 months, if the employee is in a capacity or is in a position to attend 300 calls per day, what happens? Immediately the wages don't increase. But with the experience, the speed in which the work has to be done continuously expands. As managers, it's very important for us and for you to keep a track of the learning effect with respect to employees in order to decide their promotions and incentives. Definitely, some people are more skilled than the other, some are more efficient than the other, and of course with less number of mistakes. So this becomes a very practical concept in deciding the promotions and incentives with respect to the employees who have just join, and we are tracking their performance and trying to find out the learning effect. With that, we have completed one part of cost, and we take you to the next part. As you see in the given slide, the other concepts of cost. Till now we were getting ourselves equipped with only the short run and long run cost. We were trying to focus on the behavior of cost in the short run and the behavior of cost in the long run. Whatever we have discussed till now, students, was very mathematical and technical. I need to know the total cost to find out average cost. I should know how much the total cost is increasing to understand the concept of marginal cost. I should know the difference between the behavior of cost in short run and in the long run. But now the topic that we are taking up is, how is the concept of cost looked upon by an economist and how is it different from an accountant? An accountant also keeps busy with entry of cost, assets, liabilities, profit, loss, so on. So here we are going to have a pair of cost brought together, one from accounting point of view, another from economic point of view. Look at the very first one, money cost and real cost. Money cost is the actual production cost. It is the price which has to be paid to factors of production. So all the expenses incurred in production process on the factors of production is called as money cost. Purchase of machinery, salary and wages, commission, premium paid to the company, all those expenses which are actually incurred in the business and which can be recorded in the books of account are termed as money cost. The other is called as real cost. Real cost cannot be shown in the books of account because they are sacrifices of the factors made during the process of production. What are you sacrificing when you are going and working 8 to 9 hours in the office? What are you sacrificing when you are working overtime in an office? What are you sacrificing when you are even working on Sundays? Each of you, I'm sure, will have their own sacrifices at your own personal level. Just think about that. You will understand your real cost. So real cost is more dealing with the actual sacrifices which a person makes in order to earn money. Home, food, entertainment all get sidelined when work becomes a priority. So whenever there is a factor of production involved, there will always be real cost going parallel to money cost. The second concept is explicit cost and implicit cost. This is a concept which is popularly used in calculation. When I minus from total revenue the total explicit cost, I derive profit. Profit is equal to the total revenue minus the total explicit cost. What is this explicit cost? It is the making of actual payment in the process of production. So, like we discussed about money cost, the actual resources which are used and there is a payment made across in terms of wages, salaries, purchase of material, which actually gets recorded. It is called as explicit cost. But what about implicit cost? Implicit cost. They are the cost for which, even though the work is performed, there is no corresponding payment. You go to work and you contribute also, but you don't get any reward in return. Are then why should I go and work if I'm not getting any payment? That's the first question. Now just think, has it ever happened that you go to office and your close employee, who is your friend also, calls you up, says that I will be late for office, kindly handle my work for some time. And you are a good friend, so you decide, okay, let me help him. You won't say, "Arey, I have done your work, now you pay me from your salary." You know, it's basically on mutual trust and friendship. So when you voluntarily help someone and you don't get any reward in return, then also you are paying a cost because you have used that much time for doing somebody else's job. Yes or no? So that is where implicit cost comes. Example given here is, if a driver brings materials to work, there is explicit cost in the form of his salary. If the manager brings it, there is no such cost. It means, if your driver comes and drives the car, you pay him a salary. But if your driver has gone on a leave and you drive the car, you won't tell your driver, come on, you pay me now because I have done your job. So this is where the implicit cost concept comes. I'm sure that in our day-to-day life, we all keep paying implicit cost in some form or the other. Because there are times when you help somebody who is in need and you don't ask for any reward. Of course, you ask for blessings. That's a different thing. But you don't ask for any monetary reward. So that is implicit cost. We go to the next. The third concept is private and social cost. Private cost. They are the cost which are incurred by individual business firms. Today I want to set up a business. So I will buy material, I will purchase land, I will build up a factory, I will hire workers. All that cost will get accounted. So they are my private individual cost. But when we talk about social cost, what are social cost? They are the cost which are paid by the society. I do the work, I invest, and there will be some effects outside in the society. Let's understand this. It says that when a factory is set up, it generates in its neighborhood certain effects. Students, here we are purely talking about township planning, industrialization, urbanization, or any development, any project, whenever it begins, it will have some effects, external effects. And these externalities have to be divided. Externalities have to be divided into two groups. One is called as positive externalities and the other is negative. Any work, any investment, any development will generate some effects in the society, in the neighborhood, and that we have to identify. Positive or negative. If it is positive, we say there is no social cost. But what if there are negative effects? Like you see, examples are in the form of pollution, congestion, traffic jams. Then we say this is social cost. And therefore, whenever social cost starts rising, the government policies over corporates become strict. As long as the business corporations are adding to positive externalities, government policies will be liberal. But the moment the business corporate sector starts increasing or starts emitting negative externalities, the government policies will hold them. This happened with MRTP Act, restricting the power of monopolies to prevent exploitation. The next concept is historical cost and replacement cost. Historical cost is the original cost incurred by the firm for purchasing the input in the past. Purchase price of any asset recorded and entered in the books of account is historical cost. You have made the payment and the asset is purchased. The cost is incurred. So we represent it as historical cost. But there is one more concept which has come called as replacement cost. Replacement cost will only come when that capital asset has to be replaced. Yes, we are here talking about depreciation. Whenever any machine is purchased, on the date it is purchased, its historical cost is entered, and from then on its depreciation value also gets calculated. And a particular day, particular years, depending on the asset's depreciation method, a particular day, its value will become zero, depreciation. Now, what the economist wants to know, what if this particular asset, on the day it is having a zero value, is being sold? Whatever money comes back after selling it, and it is replaced by a new asset. So the difference between the original price and the asset being replaced with another asset, a comparison has to be made. So replacement cost is the cost you have to pay to replace the original asset. So a machine purchased for 5 lakhs, 5 years duration, and on the 5th year it will have a zero value. That means in the 5th year it has to be replaced. So I have to compare 5 years back the original price of this machine and today the current price of the new machine to know what is the replacement cost. Replacement cost, it has been seen that the accountants always are concerned with historical cost, whereas the management accountants are interested in the current cost, replacement cost. This helps us to understand by how much the asset has depreciated, and second, the price level. How are the prices for a particular asset moving? The next concept is opportunity cost. What is opportunity cost? Opportunity cost is the cost for opportunity lost. You remember I was discussing about real cost, where I said we make sacrifices. In fact, when you talk about real cost, somewhere it is closely related to opportunity cost. Opportunity cost is the cost of anything produced and it is defined as next best alternative that can be produced. What if I am today not giving this lecture? What would be my next opportunity? Maybe I would have gone home and done some work. Maybe I would have gone at some other place, given a lecture and earned more than what I am earning now. Whatever way. Opportunity is, if I am using my resource today for one thing, I cannot use it for the other thing now. So there is an opportunity involved. You have to remember, students, whenever you are using your time and your energy for one work, you are paying an opportunity cost. You have to realize that your opportunity cost has to be always less. I'll give you a very simple example of a professor in USA. He has been an economics professor, very, very famous, always in news. And one day he wanted to go and meet his friend. So he was going from a garden in a park, children's park, where children were playing. And there was a girl of 9 years, 9 or 10 years, and she recognized this professor. She went to him and she said, "I know you are a very good and very famous professor of economics. You have to prove me that you are an excellent professor of economics." So he said, "Okay, what should I do?" She said, "You have to teach me right now, here, economics." Now, it's a challenge. Teaching a 10-year-old child economics in the children's park without any books, and especially when a child has never learnt anything of economics. So he thinks of this concept and he explains this girl. He tells this girl that there are so many games in this park, but you are not playing those other games. You are skipping. You are playing your on your own, skipping. Why? She said, because all other, in the children's park, there are many type of playing, you can say, other options where they can go and play. She prefers skipping because all other were occupied. All other playthings were occupied. The swing was already occupied. The seesaw was occupied. So she preferred to keep on skipping. He said, this is the opportunity cost. The pleasure that you have derived, you would have derived, suppose if you were not skipping, what would you do the next best? She said, I would sit on that swing. He said, so you have sacrificed that enjoyment and preferred to do skipping. This is an opportunity cost. Saying that, he said goodbye and he went ahead. As he went few paces ahead, this girl called him, sir, I have understood what you said. The time that you have spent in explaining me economics is the opportunity cost you have paid of that time, because that much time you would have reached faster and met your friend. So see, I have understood economics. So what we are trying to tell you, resources are scarce. Resources have alternative uses. Whenever a resource will be put for one use, there will be a sacrifice involved, which is opportunity cost. Finally, we come to the last part of cost, which is cost of multiple products. Here we would say that whenever a company is making from a single raw material multiple products, they have to use what is called as split of point concept. Here, finally, when the product is manufactured and ready, the product gets split up. And it gets split up into various categories, substitutes, joint products, complementary, and so on. Initially, all the cost of these products are considered as common cost. And we say that costs that are incurred up to the split of point are common cost. Initially, the raw material is used and all costs are considered as one. And you cannot know how much of that is used for making one product. Sugarcane. Sugarcane is used for making sugar. Sugarcane juice is used for selling it as raw juice. Sugarcane juice is further used in biodiesel and so on. But initially the raw material is sugarcane and the cost is considered as equal till it gets split up. Here we have to be clear that we have to divide these products, identify these common cost into particular products and divide it into three categories. Joint product. Joint products category comes where when I'm increasing the production of one product, I have to increase the other product also. Like for example, if you say that there are more number of wool to be sold in the market, there has to be more number of sheep. Joint products, correlated. When we discuss about alternative products, it means when we have to increase the production of one, definitely the production of some other product will get reduced because resources are scarce. Like for example, non-renewable resource. If more and more coal is used in one source of energy, then there will be less coal for another source of energy. And last is byproduct. It means that either of the product is less important. the main product and the byproduct. So when we talk about sugar cane, the sugar becomes the main product and the fossils, the leftover sugar cane, you can say after extracting the juice, becomes the byproduct. So it is very important that when the raw material is one and the company is making split of point, it is making different diversified products, it has to divide it into at split of points, the joint, alternative and byproduct. Understand it so that it becomes very useful in cost cutting strategy and increasing the production. So with that, we have successfully completed the entire cost analysis. And please remember that this concept is used in order to understand how cost plays a very important role in output determination.